Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great day. Winding down on a Monday here, 5 p.m. Eastern, as we do each and every day, Monday through Friday on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you all had a good weekend. Not a ton of news, obviously, when it comes to the green and gold, but I went out, saw a movie. Watched the Badgers lose to Michigan there in the Big Ten championship. But, you know, for the most part, all quiet on the Packers front and kind of reassessing, stepping back, looking at the roster after the first wave of free agency. We all knew going into the offseason what the concerns were when it comes to the green and gold, when it comes to improving, trying to obviously get back to winning the division and contending for championships, as Brian Gutekunst talked about at his end-of-year presser. And I don't think it's unfair to say that coming off the first wave of free agency, the pass rush remains a legitimate concern. And you guys know my running joke where I always talk about when I'm asked about what I'm worried about when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, I don't worry about anything other than my children. But if you're looking at the Packers and you're looking at a team that needs to get better in certain areas, rushing the passer is certainly still a number one with a bullet. And I know there will be folks out there talking about the need for a wide receiver or wide receiver help or wide receiver one, however you want to frame it. I don't totally dismiss that idea. And I do think it's something that we'll probably see them address in the draft. That's something I said prior to free agency. I continue to maintain that that will most likely be the case. I did think there was a chance, though, that they would make some kind of effort in free agency to bring in outside help when it comes to rushing the passer, if for no other reason than to make sure they're not boxed in by need during the draft. And there's still obviously a long way to go when it comes to getting to the draft and arriving with whoever they have on hand when it comes to potential acquisitions. Not that there is a ton on offer, but that is the other kind of component here in the problem. If you're Brian Gutekunst, it wasn't like there was a ton on offer to begin with. And I do think the fact that the Packers haven't added bodies there is a reflection on a very weak free agent class. I mean, think about most of the names we talked about heading into free agency, guys like Khalil Mack, Chase Young, etc. I mean, those are great in theory, but neither one of those guys in particular even hit the market. And then you start talking about the Leonard Floyds of the world, and you look at sure, the deals they got, and they're certainly palpable, but I don't think either or any of the guys who have signed deals already to the numbers that they've signed them with, we're going to come in and completely change things when it comes to the Packers' ability to get to the quarterback with four guys. Now, that doesn't mean that it's still not a very real concern, because when you're talking about the wide receiver group, I have the utmost faith in Matt LaFleur, his offensive coaching staff, and their ability to figure out ways of getting guys open, things where, you know, they struggled with man coverage down the stretch last year. Well, there's certainly different types of man beaters and concepts that they can utilize throughout a season where I feel pretty strongly that with the talent they have on hand and probably, again, an addition or two in the draft, they can do what they need to do on offense, especially what I assume is going to be a continuation of a robust rushing attack. On defense, I think that equation changes a little bit because you're talking about, okay, you can't get home with four. And we saw that play out throughout the season last year with the Packers. Well, you heard Matt LaFleur talk about it at the end of the season presser where he said, well, we had to adjust. Obviously, Halfley had to take a different approach. And against teams like either the Titans or the Texans, teams that had real issues in protection and or the Packers had a talent advantage when it came to utilizing simulated pressures or exotic pressures, you can dial things up against certain teams. Even against the Eagles in the playoff game, there are coverage sacks and coverage plays made by the defense where you remember the touchdown that they give up right there at the beginning where Hurts is allowed 7 seconds to pick out his guy. But for the most part, throughout that contest, they did a good job of mixing things up on the back end. So I think Halfley can do a whole lot to paper over the fact that they can't get home with four. But there's no way you can sit there as Brian Gutekunst and head into this season with what's on offer right now, currently on this roster, and tell me it's the addition of a new defensive line coach in DeMarcus Covington that is going to be the key to unlocking a championship pass rush. I refuse to believe that's the answer. And I got to think, not only again with this period, not only leading up to the draft, but even after the draft, guys get released, potential people shake loose, what have you, they're going to continue to comb over that selection, those selections, right? Obviously, the draft, though, is probably going to be your main driver at this point. The Trey Hendrickson news early this morning, for those of you who may have missed it, The Athletic reporting that the Bengals are making a push to keep Hendrickson now. That was probably always on offer, but sure feels like it's more realistic now than it was a couple weeks ago when I know Packers fans had visions of a potential trade dancing in their head. Well, sounds like you can kiss that one goodbye as well. So all of this to say, if you're looking at the Green Bay Packers and what could potentially keep them from a championship in 2025, a number one, again, with a bullet, is a lack of a pass rush, is a lack of the ability to get to the quarterback with regularity when only utilizing four rushers and four straight up rushers. Because again, Halfley can sim pressure his way to a number of sacks against a couple of different opponents, but there's no way you're getting to a Super Bowl having to sim pressure your way to a Lombardi. That is not going to happen. And if Brian Gutekunst and company are serious about competing for a Lombardi championship, as they said, has been the case, has been the kind of headline for this offseason, and the ability to take that next step from being the youngest team in the league. Ooh, they made the playoffs. That's a great setting. That is a great foundation. You have got to take that next step. And a big component of that, a major component, is rushing the passer with four people and not having to get exotic, not having to rely on scheme to do so. Right now, they can't do it. And I know they'll be counting on improvement from within. No question about it. That's something I'm going to be talking about with Justice tomorrow here on the channel. A look at throughout the roster, not just the pass rush, as far as where we suspect they're expecting improvement from within. But I, for one, you can mark me down as dubious that simply improving from within and adding a body or two in the draft is enough to get them where they want to go. I've been proven wrong before, God knows, but we shall see. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Stu, always first with football. I appreciate you, brother. Jeff Smith, what a surprise, is our first super chat. Jessica Chastain here. 7 days and nothing done on the D-line. Giving up on Hendrickson. My new free agent crush is Calais Campbell. Still gas in that tank. Dude, I love the idea of Calais Campbell in a Packers uniform. I'd be very surprised if the Packers went that route, but I'm with you. I think there is still a lot in that tank. I think he is a phenomenal talent who, yes, is at the end of his career, which is probably why it's unlikely that the Packers sign him. But man, I would maybe not do cartwheels, but I would be very excited if the Packers went that route. Now, look, Campbell, I believe if I remember right, last year, he didn't sign until very late in the process. He doesn't need to be in your offseason program. He doesn't need to be there even at training camp. He just needs to show up and dominate. And maybe the Packers are amiable to that setup. Again, I tend to doubt it. But yes, I love that thought, Jeff. We shall see. John, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Looking to potentially head to the draft. If I'm going with my family, does every person have to register, or how does this work? It's a good question, John. Every adult needs to register. The One Pass from the NFL, if you just, whatever device you're on, if you search NFL One Pass, one spelled out, O-N-E-P-A-S-S, download the One Pass and register. Everybody, every adult needs to register. And then every person who is registered on the app can bring along, essentially, I believe it's 5 children for each person, not for a couple. So I guess like if it is a couple, you got up to 10 kids, etc. You need to obviously identify them on the app. I believe there's a registering process, but they don't need the app. They don't need it on their phones, etc. But every adult needs to be registered through the app. And I think you can do it via a website as well, but I'm sure they're expecting everyone to have their phones with them and be able to scan them for entrance into the draft. It's a great question, John, and I've gotten it a few times. Jeezy Baby, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. We just need God to tell more free agents to come to Green Bay. How hard can that be? What is Mike Holmgren up to these days? I mean, remember when it was used to be just, you know, you had your head coach call the prize free agent? Reggie, this is God. Go to Green Bay. Hey, speaking of, look at my boy. Look at my guy, Reggie, right here behind me. Good stuff. Soder, how's my favorite Eeyore? How you doing, buddy? Days of emptiness celebrated with a meaningless super chat. Would you like to play on the road early, mid, or late at Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, win the division? I don't mind the dates between for the division rival games to be spread out. I know the NFL has really shoehorned so many of them into later in the season. They want, or they're trying to foster, obviously, a kind of race to the division title by hopefully having a lot of meaningful games between division foes late in the year. I think it, for all that intention, that has rarely played out and really kind of ever meant much. Although I do think now that the NFC North has improved as much as it has, there's a good road there for that potentially to happen. Even last year when you had the Vikings and Lions playing, what, the final week of the season, it's kind of the first time in a long time that that's actually meant something, that last week NFC North game. But yeah, I don't mind those dates being spread out. But I don't see that changing anytime soon. I think the NFL will continue their policy and their practice of having all these, you know, late season division games. John Sabatovich, how are you, man? Craig Yoho, pretty good, eh? Williams who? All right, well, I ain't doing no COYG, but yeah, that clip I saw today, holy Toledo, for those of you who maybe don't know or aren't on Twitter, there was a minor league baseball Twitter account that highlighted this prospect with the Brewers who has some filthy stuff. Pretty exciting. As for Williams, who, okay, relax. Let's take a breath here. Let's take one step at a time. I'm excited for the kid. Very excited. But a lot of ball game left there. Dustin, how are you, man? Aziz seems to have signed with the Eagles for $4 million. Oh, is that the case? Is that latest? Is that happening now as we speak? I'm going to check Twitter here. That's my last gasp. You notice I didn't mention him there at the top because I figured that was probably not going to happen. And yep, pass rusher Aziz Ojulari signing with the Eagles. One-year deal. $4 million. Hold, please. I have to be sad on the internet. Hold on.
Just saying, this was the one. Figures, they don't pull the trigger.
So much for that. All right. I mean, it's apt that this happens legit as I'm talking about pass rush being the most major concern. $4 million. It's like couch change for the Packers. I mean, I understand he's a smaller guy. He's been injured a lot. You are worried that if he has to play full time, etc. I get all that. But I also want to get the quarterback on the ground. And Ojulari certainly would help in that regard. Also, man, shout out to the Eagles. They let all their big-name dudes walk away and sign humongous deals elsewhere. And then they just sign guys like Ojulari and are still able to get after the quarterback. Who'd have thunk it? Matt, I mean, you're not far off, right? Thanks to the super chat, man. Sure seems like the plan at pass rush is to hope that LVN gets miraculously better. I mean, I don't think that's the plan, but sure feels like it could be, right? I know. Look, like I always say, they know more about the guys in-house than we ever will. If that is their determination, I sure hope we see it earlier rather than later at the start of the season. Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. If your book pile was a little closer to the camera, they would be in focus, a way for you to recommend old/new books. Just saying, they would be, Ed, but you know what, I like them back there. And also, I've done a whole video about books people should check out on the Green Bay Packers. Search it right here on the channel. Good times. Oh boy. Oh geez. BC Podcast. Appreciate the super chat, but the first leading with Vic is always fun. Vic Ketchman used to say the Packers fans are winsome when we'd complain, but we're just over the whole just do enough to get to January part. I mean, look, I'm the guy who always talks about entitled town, so I understand where Vic was coming from when he says that. But, you know, it's the nature of fandom to be discontent and want your team to do better and win every game and, you know, or in the case of the Green Bay Packers, like get back to winning some championships, etc. That's human nature. That's part of being a fan. I understand it. I get overwhelmed sometimes by a lot, so much negativity because I'm online. That's where most of it resides. But yeah, it's not like I don't understand it. You know, fans are passionate and as part of being a fan, and Packers fans in particular. You know, they have an expectation at this point because most of the fans, especially of a certain age, have only known winning football games. You know, they aren't used to watching their favorite team look bad / inept, lose a lot of games. I mean, that's what Bears fans have gotten used to, right? That's what Browns fans have gotten used to. Packers fans, they're not used to that shit. And God knows they don't want to go back to it. She said, Joey, how are you, man? Week one home game. I'm with you, man. The fact that Matt LaFleur has never coached at home in week one is absolutely bizarre. But hopefully this is the year. We'll see. Joe, good question, man. Is improving inside pass rush a part of the solution, or is improvement needed mostly on the edge? I'm glad you asked that. I did mention this early in the process of the offseason. I don't care where it comes from. I think both positions are in play, whether you're talking interior defensive line or edge rush. They need disruption. They need guys to win. Because here's the thing. Whether you win from the outside or inside, you're affecting the quarterback. Like, yes, I would love interior help only because it forces the quarterback, A, to drop his eyes and get out of the pocket and he can't complete whatever throw he was hoping to make on time. But also, lots of times, it flushes him into your edge guys. You know, the pressure being exerted from those edges. Even if they're not winning their one-on-one, if he escapes the pocket, now they peel off and they've got a chance at a sack. The Packers need disruption no matter where it comes from up front. Way too much dancing last year. Way too much, oh, we're playing patty cake while the quarterback can survey and then make plans to escape if he needs to. They need disruption instantly from anywhere and everywhere. So interior, edge, it doesn't matter. They need help. And I suspect there's a decent chance you'll see a defensive tackle taken probably early in this draft and maybe even one on day two or three because of the depth of that position. Throughout this class. Andrew Ware, how are you, man? My dad is in town and we landed exactly where you did earlier today. We are also surprised. No moves at linebacker, but not sure how much was there. When you say linebacker, I'm assuming you mean edge. And I mean, there wasn't a ton on offer. In fact, Ojulari is probably the last kind of possible piece I would have seen them going after. But yeah, no, at linebacker, though, if you're talking inside backer, I don't really think they have much need there. Braden, how are you, man? The day we get a receiver in the first round of the draft is when we get official Packers cheerleaders again. I don't know how you're drawing that line, buddy, but I'll take it. That's sure. Why not? Why not? Indeed. I mean, I'll tell you, man, this is the for all the years that we've been doing this, right? Like, I haven't taken a wide receiver in the first round, XYZ number of years. If things fell a certain way and like the premium defensive tackle guys are off the board and edges are probably the elite guys are gone at 23 and the next wave, they probably don't value till mid second round. I'm just saying that if there was a possibility of a wide receiver being taken in the first round, this might be the year. The problem, as I've pointed out a million times, and I'll probably point out a million more times before we get to the draft, is the teams directly in front of the Packers in the draft, mostly all needing wide receiver help as well. So in a receiver class that's not particularly deep or rich, I suspect the whoever might be taken in the first round is going to be gone by the time we get to 23, unfortunately. Soder, 2025 Packers are all in on Aaron Mosby. They just might be. Hey, had a good camp. Looked good last summer. We shall see. Dustin, how are you, man? I still have hope we sign Raji. Raji will live on. Hey, man, talk about interior pressure. Let's go. Bring the big guy back. BC Podcast, thanks again, man. However, Goody knows more than we ever will. I just think these guys want to do enough to win a chip, get a street man after them, then they retire. I mean, it's not a bad way to live it out, right? Win that championship, get one of those streets named after you, and call it a day. I'm fine with this. Nothing wrong with that. And look, I think you are 1,000,000,000% correct. Goody and pretty much everyone in that building has forgotten more football than we'll ever know. It doesn't mean they're always taking the right approach, though. It doesn't mean they're always making the right decisions. Sometimes it's paralysis by analysis, you know? I'm just saying. Andrew says, Mike linebacker. I mean, yeah, I didn't think that was ever going to be on their radar this offseason. They've obviously struck gold with Cooper. You've got Quay next to him, and that's 75% of your snaps. They've signed McDuffie as their depth guy, and then they got Tyron Hopper, who will probably play early downs, base alignments, and things like that. But as far as, you know, a true Mike, I mean, that will most likely be, you know, split between, dependent on the opponent and what they're calling, etc., how it matches up. But that'll be between Quay and Edrin. I mean, there won't be some Mike Singletary like throwback to a middle linebacker in this defense. It's just, it's not on offer. No question about it. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.